Hello and welcome to Safari Conversations, the Singita podcast. Even though we've been around for 30 years, we're relatively new to podcasting. But we are storytellers by nature and we've got so much to share with you. Alongside our conservation partners, we've been busy exploring and protecting Africa's wilderness. So join us as we unpack inspiring, fun, and sometimes crazy stories where you'll meet our incredible people and learn all about the special places in Africa that we call home. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes.
Welcome to another episode of Safari Conversations. I am Mandisa Makwatlaza and I work at Singita. And today we are speaking to travel journalist Ondela Mlandu about how travelers are changing and some of the trends that we are both seeing. Welcome to you, Ondela.
Thank you so much, Mandisa. I'm so excited to be engaging with you today.
Me too. How have you been?
I've been well.
I am seeing so many exciting things that you've been doing. I think I started following your journey 4 or 5 years ago and I was like, oh my goodness, she's so amazing. So please do introduce yourself to our listeners. Give us a bit about your background and the work that you do.
So I am a media and communications specialist by profession and a travel journalist by passion. I immerse myself in storytelling, in women empowerment, in all things travel and digital media, because I'm driven by the love for the African continent. I think this African continent of ours possesses so much potential. And I take pleasure in the exploration of our, you know, diverse lifestyles and cultures. And just the fact that we live on such a beautiful continent with so much to offer. But in addition to my contributions to media and the travel industry, I'm also a Mandela Washington Fellow for the Young African Leaders Association. And I'm also the Southern African Region Community Champion for the Global Shapers Community, which is an initiative founded by the World Economic Forum.
And that's what excites me about having this conversation with you, because you are a traveler that goes in between the continent where a lot of our Singita travelers come from and also explores the African continent and as an African woman. So I'm very excited. Thank you so much for making the time. And I've been involved in the travel industry for about 20 years, and I've really noticed accelerated changes in the safari guests. So 20 years ago in the Eastern Cape, working within Big Five Safari and Luxury Safari, and now with working at Singita, the guests that we are seeing are really changing. They're changing how they're traveling, and the ages are also changing. Travelers that we're seeing are much younger, and the type of guests are also very different. It's a whole new generation. It's people that have saved up for the celebration, and maybe it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, or someone that has retired and now has come into some money, and this is what they're doing. But actually, over the years, I think people have realized the incredible impact of travel. The fact that an experience is a much better gift. It's actually a gift that keeps on giving with each memory that returns. And so I'd really love us to unpack that and for you to share, like, what have you seen in terms of how the traveler is changing?
There's definitely been a noticeable rise in, you know, how the traveler has evolved. And when I look at the younger generation or the young female generation, and for me, the importance of experiences is way better than a luxurious handbag or a new sports car. You know, younger travelers or younger working professionals are actually prioritizing experiences that allow them to travel. You know, when I look at the female traveler or the younger female traveler, there's a shift in our mindsets and a sense of empowerment for us to explore the world on our own terms. But also there are other factors that contribute to, you know, the rise of this solo traveler or this female solo traveler. I mean, social media can be an inspiration for us. I mean, platforms like your Instagrams, your TikToks have really made the solo traveler a bit more visible, with women sharing their solo adventures and kind of normalizing that experience, but also showing that it's possible to travel solo but also enjoy it. And I'm seeing more women doing this, and it just feels so doable and desirable, and it's all part of that experience. But also there's that increased independence of the younger generation. younger generation is more empowered and independent than we can ever imagine. I mean, so many of these younger female travelers breaking those traditional molds, they're valuing their journeys of self-discovery, that personal growth, and really taking autonomy for their lives. And so traveling alone for me is just seen as an extension of that, you know, a way to make my own decisions, a way to create my own adventures and to feel empowered. And with technology, of course, these days we can do absolutely anything. And also, you know, the fact that we want to prioritize our mental health and our self-care and personal healing, reflection, mindfulness, that's also part of it. And it contributes to, I think, our overall well-being, especially post-COVID.
Absolutely. And you mentioned something key, social media and technology. I think one thing I really admire about the solo female travelers that I've seen traveling with Singita over the past year is just how savvy and how knowledgeable they are. These ladies knew exactly what they wanted to do. They had their bucket list. And they probably had all the Instagram photos and reels saved. And it's almost like there's a community that is formed, right? One lady, say, posts the solo trip to a specific destination and other people are, their aspirations to do it are almost validated. Like, oh, I can do that too. Mm. And that's definitely what I've experienced. And also that autonomy. The ladies that have traveled with Singita over the past year have done so much more and packed more adventures into their travels than I think they would have if they were traveling with friends or their family, because it's really all about what they want to do. It's the experiences that they've always wanted, and they curated completely according to their personal taste and their desire for adventure. And we found the ladies doing more than two countries even within the itinerary, and also being brave and being really adventurous and doing things that maybe some families wouldn't do if they're traveling with their kids and feel like they'd want to be, you know, a little bit more conservative with their planning and where they go. So I really admire, you know, the solo female traveler that is adventuring through Africa. I mean, myself as well. When I travel alone, I think I'm also a bit more adventurous than when I travel with my kids. About 2 years ago, I took a trip to Rwanda, and it was just such a beautiful experience, such a spiritual experience, and particularly with that connection of that we build as South Africans, of recognizing Rwanda as a country that developed almost simultaneously with South Africa or parallel to South Africa in terms of timing. I've always wanted to go and wanted to see what has happened after genocide, how the country has grown, how the conservation story has become such an incredible inspiration. And being there was, first of all, just incredible in learning. I arrived and it was no car day, which was so crazy for me. And I just got the opportunity to, it's until 12, I think it's the last Sunday of the month, no one is allowed to drive a motorized vehicle. Even those little scooter taxis aren't allowed to operate. And it's very strict. Everybody abides by it. And you see everybody in the neighborhood walking, running, pushing prams. And I walked through Kigali, my first time there, and I had never felt more safe as an African woman, or just as a woman in Africa. And even going out at night, I remember being out at night at this really, if you ever go to Kigali, go to a place called Bele Bele. It is so much fun. And being out there at night and just enjoying the nightlife and having such a wonderful experience and feeling so safe. And also as a solo female traveler, walking into a bathroom in an establishment and finding sanitary items for women and finding safety items for women just there and available for women to use, which means that the destination itself was just considered of their female consumer. So I would definitely say Rwanda is my top destination in Africa as a woman traveling alone.
It's definitely on my list. I'm so glad you shared your experience, because I was going to ask you, you know, just in terms of the shift in perception of safety, because while women travel solo, safety is always in the back of our minds, right? Because we want to make sure that, is the destination safe? Is it female friendly? Are we able to walk in the streets at night and feel that safety? So I'm so glad you shared that, because it's definitely on my list now. And I'm very intrigued by Rwanda.
Yes, it's definitely a concern. And something that comes up with solo female travelers particularly But one thing that is really beautiful is that our wilderness and areas in Africa are just the ideal place because they're so safe. You're in the conservation space. Everybody that is going there is of one mind. It is really just to immerse yourself in nature and enjoy it. And, you know, as Sangeeta, we take the responsibility and the care from making sure that we put together an itinerary that is always going to place our guest in the most, the safest spaces. So yeah, safety always comes up. And I think with anything, when traveling to Africa, any common sense that you would apply, even in your own home country, if you're not from Africa, and even as an African in another African country, I apply the same common sense principles that I do at home. And the nice thing about being a traveler, you can get a private guide, which is something that we always do. Hire a private vehicle and a private driver guide so you know that even if you feel like you want to go and explore, there is that someone that is connected to the place that you're going, connected to the destination and prearranged. So we have all of these things in place to ensure it's a carefree, you know, there's peace of mind for the solo traveler. Another thing that I have noticed as a travel advisor is solo travelers actually coming for specific causes to Africa and specific events. So Andela, you just traveled to the USA for the fellowship. How did this shape your experiences as a solo traveler, particularly as a young African woman in the USA? And can you share any lessons from your trip?
I'm going to be completely vulnerable and honest when I say that having never been to the States before, I was a little bit concerned. My safety was a concern in the back of my mind, but I did want to challenge myself to be able to allow myself to be able to connect with the country as a whole and as well as the people. Sure. Travel has really opened up my eyes and changed the way in which I think about certain things. Taking that leap of faith and being able to go somewhere that might be a little bit, you know, like foreign territory, but knowing that good can come out of it. For me, I think one of the main things was attending this fellowship was that I was amongst a whole lot of other African fellows as well from 24 different countries, which in itself is just a beautiful melting pot of richness. And I say that because being in a space with 24 other individuals from different countries allowed me to not only immerse myself in their cultures, but also to be able to promote my own culture in my own country. And that cultural exchange is always so important because the best thing about traveling is that it promotes cultural understanding and empathy, right? Because we're all experiencing different things in life. We're breaking down stereotypes and we're encouraging cross-cultural dialogue, which I think is absolutely amazing. I was in the States at the start of the elections, so there was a lot of engagement as well with Americans. And being able to educate each other about deeper appreciation of where we all come from, the diversity in which we all come from, was amazing. I think I was able to shed light on how our elections went, and they were also able to shed light on just some of how, you know, what happens with their elections. But also there's just great educational value other than the cultural exchange. You know, you're providing an unparalleled learning experience. And, you know, you also, while you're in the States, I visited so many different places. I visited Chicago. I visited Washington, D.C. I was based in Iowa, which is in the Midwest, a farming town, but filled with so much history and just so much interconnectedness. It was really inspiring. And then, of course, when you go to the bigger places like New York, which is, you know, the concrete jungle, as one would call it, there's a different perspective there. So I was very enlightened during my time. And I think what they do in the States, what they don't talk about the most is, and I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit later, but volunteerism. And not many people know this, but they have a very strong culture of giving back to their communities and volunteering. And that opened up my eyes to what we do here back home, because we do that, I think, exceptionally well, and we don't speak about it often. And I know Sangeeta has many great initiatives which empower young individuals as well through all your initiatives. But yeah, volunteerism was the one thing that stood out for me in terms of just the cross culture, but also wanting to know how can I bring that back home to amplify it here and make it better, whether it's through travel and tourism or whether it's through, you know, any sector that I might find myself in.
I love what you said about travel being a form of education, because it is. We learn so much about ourselves and about other people. And when someone goes and travels for a purpose such as volunteering and to go and invest in another community, it is the most beautiful thing because it's the nucleus of the insight of into another country, right? It's communities. And one thing that I love about Sangeeta, and the one of the reasons why I joined the team, having admired Sangeeta for many years from afar, is exactly that impact into the nucleus of South African society. I'll share some. I don't know if either you know this about me, but I was born on a farm just outside a conservation area in the Eastern Cape. And I mean, I grew up as a grandchild of a farm laborer. We used to run everywhere, pick wild berries and clay, white clay that we'd smear on the mud houses. Quite an idyllic pastoral childhood. And then around about the age of 5, 6, fences went up around all of those places where we used to do these things, where we used to get the berries. And I was like, it was such a strange thing. And that was my introduction into conservation. And that is really the crux of the juncture where community and conservation meet, because behind those fences is where my aunts and uncles got opportunities to work, which meant more income for the family. And then I started realizing, oh, there are people coming in and here are these wild animals. And so the link is so intrinsic between our communities and conservation that when someone comes to actually enjoy a safari, it's so important that they know that even if they're not going on a particular activity, just by staying at Sangeeta, they are investing in a community. Two projects that I really love because they really go to that nucleus, investing in a child's education and also giving a young adult an opportunity to create their own trajectory in life is the two projects that are currently run by the Sangeeta Lowveld Trust, which supports 17 early childhood development centers. Now, if I think back to, you know, being in a community like one that benefits from this program, it would mean that of the 16 grandchildren that we are in my grandmother's household, about 13 others who didn't have great chances of education would have been exposed to a program like this and would have had such a strong foundation in life. And so I love it because it just makes such a huge impact. And then, of course, the Sangeeta Community Culinary Schools. We have three now in South Africa, in Rwanda, as well as Tanzania. And now this is an example of giving someone an opportunity, a young person an opportunity to actually start a career right where they're from. A huge problem that we know that stems from South Africans' history is having to leave families in order to go to the city to get a job. And it has broken up communities for the longest time in South Africa. It's broken up families. And something like the Sangeeta Community Culinary School actually keeps that nucleus of the community together by giving a young person an opportunity right there on their doorstep. They can still go home and take care of their grandmother. They can still go home and enjoy a Sunday lunch with their families. And it just is such a huge impact. It's such a beautiful and important thing to keep those communities intact and having economic opportunities and resources coming in. So, Ondela, this is part of Sangeeta's conservation story, right? Because it is a conservation brand that really takes seriously the community aspect of conservation. And it's part of the 100-year purpose to protect African wilderness areas for future generations. Another trend that we are seeing is younger guests seeking out more sustainable, eco-friendly holidays and really epitomizing the term conscious traveler. Is this something that you've seen as well? And what do you think is going on?
Yeah, I mean, our generation or the younger generation is pro eco consciousness, right? And I think maybe it's because of the United Nations SDG goals and sustainability and the environment being at the forefront. But with climate change and everything happening in the world, I think we're more intentional about how we protect our planet. And we're mindful of the environment and the footprint that we are leaving and how we are trying to minimize the harm to the planet. And people have, especially younger travelers, have started being intentional about the smaller actions. So how are we reducing the plastic waste? I mean, I traveled to Ethiopia last year, November, and most of the hotels had plastic bottles. And I just think of how in Rwanda, for instance, they no longer use plastic and they haven't used plastic for almost a decade. So small actions like that, reducing plastic waste to change the way in which we conserve the environment. And more people are choosing eco-friendly accommodation and slower modes of transport. So there are a lot of elements that, you know, are focused on the shift, you know, going back to transportation. If you're going from South Africa to Mozambique, as an eco-traveler, are you going to drive or are you going to fly? People are looking at, you know, all those elements of, is it better to carpool or is it better to fly because of how that will impact the environment? But even with our choice of travel, you know, sustainable hotels are at the forefront. Hotels that practice green practices. Do they have recycling elements? Do they, you know, support their local communities through their initiatives? What is their energy like? How does the establishment that I'm staying at use renewable energy? So there's a lot that the traveler thinks about. When I look at, you know, waste reduction, what happens to the food after we go for a safari at the high tea? Normally at three, lots of establishments have, you know, a full spread of just beautiful confectionaries. What happens to that after we hop onto the vehicle and we go on safari? What happens to that waste? Does it get given to the staff on the ground or does it get thrown away? So all those small things that seem insignificant, they actually have a ripple effect on how we preserve our environment. And also it's just a change in the mindset, you know, how do we move forward as travelers to ensure that we protect our environment?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as travel professionals, it's our responsibility to be highly intuitive and responsive to the raised consciousness of our travelers. And as a traveler to Singita, I get to go to the lodges and experience them. That is one thing that I've really loved. You mentioned the high tea, the fact that when I go into a Singita lodge, there's a mini bar in the main area that is packed with beautiful glass jars with microgreens that are locally grown and a few batches of snacks, good, wholesome food that is not going to sit there and waste. And if those veggies are not used, they're going to be in a green smoothie or a green juice the next day. And those are the kind of things that an eco-conscious traveler looks at. How are we consuming? You know, consumption is such a huge problem in the world over. And when someone has taken a long-haul flight to come to Africa, I think it is very important for them to be reassured that, okay, my stay, my comfort is not in vain, and that how I'm living and how I'm consuming on a day-to-day basis while I'm here is really mindful of the planet and the energy as well, knowing that there's solar energy that is being used, knowing that the food is locally sourced, that there's a wine cellar and there's not 50 bottles of wine being flown every time a new guest are arriving, but the wine is stocked and it's there. So small things that you look at, and it's so intuitively done and it looks small, but it has a huge impact on alleviating some of that pressure on the environment. But at the end of the day, Ondela, I think it's a partnership. And that's the relationship we build, I think, as Singita, and what I try to build with my guests as they're planning their travels. How are we in partnership together planning this trip, not only just for your enjoyment as a guest, but for the benefit of the earth? And one of those things is packing, right? Like you said, in Rwanda, one of the things I advise, don't have any single-use plastic items in your luggage because you're going to have to leave it at the airport. It won't be allowed. But that decision starts while they're at home. What would you, as a solo traveler or someone that travels frequently, advise in terms of packing? How do you pack with the environment in mind?
Yeah, I think when you're packing for instance, a visit to Singita, ensure that your gear is sustainable, because there are items that are made out of eco-friendly materials. You know, you get organic cotton these days, you get biodegradable toiletries, you even get natural sunscreen. But also, I think something can be said about minimalist packing, reducing the amount of clothing or the gear that you pack, because in essence, that also helps reduce the environmental impact when it comes to transport. So let's be mindful of those small things when we do want to explore and travel into nature, because every action has a consequence. And so let's keep it in mind as we travel.
Absolutely. Also, on the other side of being a Singita guest is one of those things I love. I know that if I'm just going to a Singita property and nowhere else, I don't even have to pack any toiletries. Apart from, you know, my personal lotion that I use or my face products, I get there is a sustainably made toothbrush. There's all of the environmentally friendly amenities that I'm going to need during my bath time and when I'm getting ready. And also with laundry, I can literally pack an overnight bag no matter how many nights I'm staying because there's a daily laundry service. So also knowing how is my destination, how is the lodge that I'm visiting going to, you know, what services they are so that I make good decisions at the beginning of my travels. And I think that is part of, you know, creating an eco-conscious itinerary, research properties that are going to enable you to make the best decisions, that are going to enable you to consume as little as possible while you're in Africa, particularly in a wilderness area. And that's the thing about the relationship with coming into the wilderness. You know already that you are coming into a space that is sacred. You are coming into a space that is preserved, and already your responsibility levels or your consciousness levels and awareness is raised. Why do you think people have enjoyed and keep on enjoying safari? I mean, so many decades after this industry or this particular type of travel has become popular, people are still coming back to our wilderness areas. Why do you think that is?
There's something so incredibly special about nature, whether you're in the ocean, whether you're in the bush. And I think post-COVID, everyone wanted to shift away from the hustle and bustle and the craziness of what life was before we had to all take a step back and reset. You know, a lot of travelers are now prioritizing their mental health and their self-care. I think the younger generation are in their self-care era, you know, where many people are really focusing on their personal healing, taking time to reflect, taking time to be mindful. We're mindful with the things we eat. We're mindful with the clothes we wear. We're mindful of the destinations we choose for our traveling. And that self-care, mental health, slow down way of being now, that's what leads one to the bush. It's a chance to escape the pressures of daily life. And just find clarity in a new environment. And as a solo traveler, I think that's why safari travel is increasingly popular, and it keeps getting popular. I mean, I think back in the day, you'd find that the traveler, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the traveler was a bit more of the older generation, probably, you know, post-retirement. And now more and more young people are really just taking time out to go and have a mental reset and have that me time. And what better way than to do that when you're in the wilderness? It's refreshing. And that's what people are after.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. It used to be more of the older guests that come on safari. And now it's beautiful to see that demographic is still traveling, but they're bringing their children and they're bringing their grandchildren and they're bringing their great-grandchildren, which means that this legacy of appreciating nature is being passed on. So instead of buying a child a fancy graduation present, people are bringing their grandchildren on a beautiful trip to Africa and creating memories and instilling in them that appreciation of being at one with nature. And I love how Singita offers so many opportunities for families to do this together, such as the private villas where a family can just take up a space and just to celebrate those connections with the people that they love, but also still for each individual person to go out and do something that is just so deeply personal, whether it's yoga on their deck or just a hike with their guide, just time out in nature and that solitude. It's so beautiful for every kind of traveler to come and just enjoy the respite from the humdrum, right?
I love that you mentioned that, because multi-generational travel is so, it's so important, and more people are doing it now, having those shared experiences with grandparents, having the whole family come out and reconnect and create those shared memories and build family traditions, which I guess it will be interesting to see in a few years' time what the Singita visitor looks like? Is it, you know, a generational traveler? That's, you know, how will that look? It'll be every generation will add some kind of value.
Something really special we noticed last year is a guest that has been traveling with Sangeeta for over 10 years started traveling when he was a teenager with his family. And this last December, he was the one booking the trip.
So it's already manifesting because it's so instilled in them that this is such a beautiful tradition. They've created a tradition. Every second or every year, they're coming together as a family. And also so important with taking that time out from work where you can plan ahead as a family. And this is what families are doing, planning ahead to make sure that everyone can get together and it's more of a quality experience and they can pack in something very meaningful in time that they get to share. So I can't wait to see the next 10 years, what that is going to be like and how it's going to change with Gen Z now having the purchasing power and, you know, and being such innate eco warriors. I think we're headed for a beautiful and exciting time.
So thank you for that, Mandisa. You know, just like you're from the Eastern Cape, I'm also from the Eastern Cape. As much as I love the city, I love rural Eastern Cape even more. One of my favorite parts of the Eastern Cape is Coffee Bay. You know, you often see the cows just relaxing, having their meals, either on the sand, on the beach, or just on the rolling hills. And I love the interconnectedness of being able to be in nature and to be able to zone out. And a fond memory that comes to mind, we've just spoken about multi-generational travel. And growing up in the Eastern Cape, traveling wasn't a thing in my family. Traveling was me going to my grand's house for the holidays. And so the minute I got exposed to travel, I think it was the biggest eye-opener. I mean, my mom isn't much of a traveler. She's never been exposed to travel, which is very interesting. And so I decided to take her for her 50th birthday to Kraaifontein, one of the game reserves that side of the world. And we woke up very early at 5 o'clock in the morning and she didn't understand why we had to go for a safari at that time. And then I had to talk her through the fact that that's when, you know, the lions have caught their meal and they're about to eat and then they're going to sleep the whole day. We probably won't see them. So it's best for us to go at this time. And so we hopped into the car. It was cold at 5 a.m. It was in the winter time. So it's also quite dark. And we ventured up the steep hill and I could just see the fear in my mom's eyes. She's in a car with no doors, really. It's just very open. We're in the wild. But in that moment, her having a lion just so close to her and her seeing an elephant so close, I think that's something that's forever etched in my mind, knowing that I could give her that and knowing that, you know, now that she has a passport, we have the potential to travel together and create memories, which will leave a legacy because I want to have traveling kids as well. So yeah, traveling is just a beautiful thing that allows us to connect with nature, with ourselves, with loved ones. Yeah, I just love what Sangeeta is doing and the ability it has to not only impact the communities, but the people on the ground. It's a home. It's a place called home. Please keep on doing the amazing work.
Oh, thank you so much, Ondela. This is such a beautiful note on which to close off our conversation, which has been a beautiful one. You know, talking about the changing safari traveler, ecotourism, and all the special things that Sangeeta does to make the solo traveler, as well as multi-generational travelers, even more impactful to communities around Africa, because that decision that someone makes to come on a safari is what enables Sangeeta to support, you know, NGOs such as the Lofel Trust to carry on the work with the Sangeeta Culinary School, and in turn, investing back in the nucleus of families and communities around protected spaces. So it is just such a beautiful symbiotic relationship of how we all come together to make an impact.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Mandisa, and looking forward to seeing you somewhere at one of the Sangeetas.
Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of Safari Conversations, the Sangeeta podcast. Until next time.
Thank you for listening. If you want to follow other episodes of our podcast series, Safari Conversations, please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from or on our website at sangeeta.com.